We're talking about the regions. A Dubbo man in his 50s is believed to be the first Indigenous Australian to die from COVID. His death was one of four reported in New South Wales today. As the state recorded 1,290 cases, it is the highest daily number in Australia. New South Wales Chief Health Officer Dr. Kerry Chance says the man died in hospital.
A gentleman in his 50s from Dubbo died at Dubbo Hospital, and he had significant underlying health conditions.
Linda Burney is the Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians, Families and Social Services. Welcome back to RN Drive.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm all right. Look, thanks for joining us. Have you been able to speak to anyone in the local Indigenous community there, and how is this death being felt?
I've managed to speak to the mayor out there today. The death is being felt very deeply, and of course we offer condolences to the Dunn family. As you said, the introduction said that he was in his 50s and he was unvaccinated, and my understanding is that there has been another death there since this gentleman died, a woman, but I don't know any more than that, David.
Is that an Indigenous woman?
I'm afraid I haven't been able to establish that, but obviously, it's really important to remind ourselves that Western New South Wales is made up of Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people, and like your last caller, an enormous recognition that there are millions of people in lockdown in Sydney and Melbourne and other parts of the country right now.
Look, you mentioned the fact this man who's died was not vaccinated. There's been warning after warning for 12 months that this needs to be the priority, increasing vaccination rates in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander populations. Can I ask you, Linda Burney, why do you think the rate of vaccination is lower than the national average, including amongst that Indigenous community and communities in Western New South Wales?
Well, I'm a little bit fed up with the excuse that I'm hearing from both the Health Minister and the Indigenous Affairs Minister, that it's vaccine hesitancy. In Western and far Western New South Wales, I can assure you, David, it is not vaccine hesitancy. In the town of Wilcannia, 70 people have COVID, and it's a town of 750 people. That's that's a huge percentage of the population out there. And I think the other thing is that this is a real reality out there, and there has not been the availability of vaccines. And what works in this part of the world, in their small towns, is if you have to go door to door and explain things, then that's what has to happen. There is no one in charge out there, and it's just a scandal.
Well, Ken Wyatt, the minister, keeps referring to vaccine hesitancy. Where's he getting that information from?
I don't know where he's getting information from. The Western Australian government has recognised that the vaccine levels are very low, particularly in the Kimberley and the Pilbara. And there is vaccine hesitancy out there, but let's understand why. It's because the churches, or some churches out there, have been peddling misinformation. So how do you counter that, David? You counter it with a good communication plan, a good communication strategy that suits those populations. It's not rocket science.
Well, let's talk about that. The Prime Minister last week announced defence teams would be going in to help boost vaccination and deliver support. Has that made a difference, and is that the right sort of door knocking to get the job done, or should it be someone else?
Well, my understanding is that in places like Walgett and parts of the West, the ADF have made a difference because it has increased capacity. But the crucial thing is that these efforts need to be led by local Aboriginal people and leaders in those communities.
Has that not happened? Are you saying that has not happened?
It is not happening enough. I can absolutely assure you that, and I've spoken to people in those communities who feel that they're locked out of decisions. I heard Premier Berejiklian, I think it was yesterday, saying, well, my briefings are telling me that everything is going really well out there. Well, on the ground, it is a very, very different story. There is enormous capacity in that part of the world that needs to be good coordination and, you know, someone put in charge, because what's unfolding out there, David, is a disaster.
We just got this message on our text line too. Someone says, I've been trying to get my 14-year-old Aboriginal child vaccinated since the group became a priority. Had an appointment booked by New South Wales Health on the North Coast. Then the clinic called and said they cannot vaccinate young people. So the concern is there. It's proving very difficult, if not impossible.
It's proving very difficult. And that just shows the confused messages that people are getting. And I'm seeing that in my own electorate, which has some of the hotspots that the designated LGAs in it, people are really confused and starting to get angry and frustrated with the fact that the messages are so mixed and changed so much. It really is about a clear communication strategy. And to me, David, that is absolutely what's missing.
Well, the vaccination message is critical, but it does take time. It takes two doses. It takes time to be fully effective and so on. Right now, we know we're talking about many families that do have multiple generations living in the same household. Yeah. Social distancing is difficult. What else can be done right now to reduce the spread?
I think the thing that needs to happen urgently is an understanding of what the capacity is of hospitals and staff in that part of the world. That needs to be addressed. But the second point is this, is that, you've said it yourself, I mean, you know these communities or the families I'm talking about, they are living in incredibly overcrowded situations, and the capacity to isolate is almost nil. So isolation hubs need to be established close to home and staffed by people that understand the local community.
When you say isolation hubs, what are you suggesting there?
Well, for example, let's take Wilcannia. That is one of the communities that really is in the news. There has to be designated places or areas in that community that give people the capacity to isolate. People shouldn't have to set up tents in their front yard to isolate. And there is that capacity out there. I know these communities very, very well.
Are you talking about motels or other forms of...
No, I'm talking youth centres, perhaps parts of schools, perhaps disused police stations. There's a whole bunch of areas that could be used for isolation. There is caravan parks, for example. There are places where travellers stay. I mean, this is on the main route between Dubbo and Broken Hill. You have to go through these communities and often stop in those places if you're travelling.
Well, Linda Burney, we are still chasing confirmation, since you've said it, from New South Wales Health, through that the second death that you referred to there of a woman there in Dubbo. But very sad news today, obviously, about the death of this Indigenous man there. We do appreciate you joining us tonight to talk about this.
Thank you, David. And our love and deepest respect and good wishes go to his family, of course.
Indeed. Linda Burney, the Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians. You're listening to RN Drive.